I'm Tony Wilson. I'm one of the elders at church. And what I wanted to do was realize that there are so many people that I don't know. Some of you, this may be the first time that you're here, and I really appreciate that. Some of you might be prisoners here. You know, somebody, your mama brought you, or maybe your girlfriend or your husband or your wife, and they said, you have to come here. Others of you might be vacationers. You're here because of the good food and the coffee that's out in the back, you know, and so forth. I am certain that some of you here are going to, are here because you want to invest. And I'm hoping that the next few minutes that we might be able to invest a little bit. Let me tell you a little bit about my story and just a snippet. It was March 15th last year. Last year, I was on my way to work, and it was early in the morning. It was about an hour drive, and I spent about 40 minutes that day. And why do I know that day so well? Because I knew something really important was going to happen that day. I had started at a job about 6 months earlier, and almost immediately, I realized that it was not a good fit for me. My boss would ask me to come in really early in the morning before everyone, about 7 in the morning, and then he would have me stay until after everyone left. And then on Saturday mornings, he would call me and have another meeting. There had been many issues that were going on, and I knew, so I started to look for other jobs. But at about 4 months into this job, I realized that I had to do something different. And so I began to become, I guess, the best servant leader I could. I worked with all the people on my staff. I worked with my boss. I worked with the people that were there, just trying to do the things that were really good. The metrics started to shift, and it was nearing the end of the quarter. And so it was when he called me in the office at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was thinking, okay, finally, he's starting to understand. I'm starting to work here. And what ended up happening, I'm sorry, Tony, it's just not going to work out. And that day, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I was asked to clear out my desk. I was confused, a little hurt. I was wondering, why God, this morning, during the 40 minutes that I was coming in to work, you just told me that this was the right thing, and now all of a sudden you're taking it away. Now, this is not the only time that this has occurred in my life. I've had many other times. There were times when I heard, I'm sorry, your wife has stage 4 breast cancer. Dad, I just lost 2 of my troops from an IED, and two others are in the hospital. Your dad just had a heart attack, and he's in the intensive care unit. I'm going to divorce my wife. I'm going to file for bankruptcy. Your father-in-law just fell down the stairs and broke his neck. And I'm sure that if I were to go to you and each one of you, you could have those same stories. Physical, emotional, social, psychological, spiritual, all of us. We all have wounds that need to be healed. And you may be wondering right about now, since this is the week that we're talking about God's vision for our lives, how does that all fit in to what God's vision is for my life? Well, fortunately for us, we have the Bible, and in that Bible there were three people, or actually many more than that, that followed Jesus. And we can look at Jesus and sort of see what he was doing, because Jesus was God here on earth. And if we can look at his life and see how he handled those people who had hurts and issues in their lives, perhaps we can learn from him. And one of his followers, Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector that Jesus said, come, follow me, and so he did. And he summarized it in this way. He summarized it that Jesus went about all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues, teaching, basically talking about that salvation is a free gift and it's not earned. And then preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And you may wonder, what's the difference between preaching and teaching? Preaching is getting a commitment from everyone. Just a commitment to him, and that he would do, that we would be doing the things that he had planned for us so that we could obtain and participate in the glory that is ours and also make us whole. And then also healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Healing. Healing. And I'm sure that like you, like me, there are many of us who have things where we just need to be healed in our lives. One of the other disciples, Peter, wrote it this way. He said, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, we have been healed. Jesus heals wounds in our lives to bring us wholeness. Now, one of the ways that we can look at it is Jesus had 3 years of ministry out of his 30 years on the earth, roughly. Okay, that's 1,000 days. And he had this group of disciples that followed him all over the place. And so it was very interesting that John said, if we were to actually write down everything that Jesus did, he said that probably the whole world would not have enough room to fill all the things that Jesus had accomplished. So what I'm doing here is just taking one day, even a half a day of Jesus' life, and just showing us how God is wanting to do this in all of our lives. And fortunately, we have the writers of the Gospels, those guys who followed him all over the place. They told us exactly what he was doing. So, and Matthew wrote it this way, news about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing him all who were sick, and whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed, or epileptic, or paralyzed, he healed them all. And if you're like I am, you know a few people that have been healed in their lives, but most of the time, it's the things that we don't even see, that those psychological, those mental, those emotional issues that we all face, where God is doing the healing. So what we see in the Bible is just the tip of the iceberg of what actually was occurring and can occur today in Jesus. So, a day in Jesus' life. Imagine this. Jesus is on the other side of the lake and crowds welcome Jesus because they have been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus. Jairus was the leader of the local synagogue. He was a big deal in that community. He probably was very wealthy, well-to-do, well-connected, sort of like Glenn. Okay? But his daughter was sick. His only daughter, who was 12 years old. What do you think, Jairus was feeling as he was there? I mean, here is this man who's all-powerful, and now all of a sudden, helpless. A little bit confused, not knowing what to do. And he's devastated because his daughter, his only daughter, is about on deathbed, and he's desperate, and he's very urgent. And so he comes to to this itinerant preacher, this man who he's heard about, but really had no calling. He was just a carpenter. And he fell at his feet, and he basically asked him to come. And as Jesus went with him, so he came down to the water's front, and probably had a crowd with him, and he was surrounded by the crowds. In that crowd was a woman who had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. She said to herself, "If only I touch his cloak, I will be healed." Now this woman, we don't know much about her, other than that she was in the crowd. But because she had a bleeding for 12 years, she would have been unclean, and in the Jewish community, what that would mean is that she was isolated, because anyone who came and touched her would not be able to be with anyone else for an entire day. Probably her husband would have divorced her quietly, or maybe not so quietly. And what Mark says, which Luke, who was a doctor, didn't say, was that she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, and instead of getting better, got worse. So Dr. Luke just happened to leave this out of his, you know, isn't that right about the doctors, right? They just only want to look at the good things. So now this woman who's suffering, she goes, if only, you know, I could be there with Jesus. If only I could just get touched. She's embarrassed. She's isolated. She's probably exhausted because of the blood discharge, low iron, and so forth, anemic. She may be a little ashamed of her infirmity. You really don't talk about those things, do you? And she's the outcast. We look at her and we think, you know, if you were to make her into a movie, instead of it being in long flowing robes, she's probably someone more like someone down on the streets of Rochester. Just a woman waiting on the side. Nobody really looks at her. And she says, if only I could come and touch her. And coming up, she touched the fringe of the robe. And this is a mural that is over in, I can't remember the exact location, but you can see her just reaching in to this procession of all these very important people, just trying to touch just the hem of Jesus' garment, because she had that type of faith. And immediately, the bleeding stopped. Now, some of us probably wonder, how did she know that? Well, let me ask you, have there been instances in your life where you just knew, for whatever reason, things had changed? Perhaps it was the time that you said, I do. Or maybe it was the time that you signed your first mortgage. Or perhaps it was something else. Whatever it is, there is just that change, and she just knew it right then. But what was also interesting, it is not every contact with Christ that heals men. It is the rousing of yourself that come to near to him, the determinate, the personal, the resolute believing touch of Jesus Christ which heals. There are those instances in our lives where we can just come and be close and have that intimate touch with Jesus, and we can just know that he has healed us. Who touched me? Jesus asked. All of a sudden, this huge crowd, this throng of people all around him, everyone was denying it, but Jesus knew. He said, someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power going out from me. And why did he make such a big deal out of it? Why do you think he would have stopped in the middle of this procession, especially with Jairus, whose daughter is sick and dying, to make such a big deal over this one little touch of the hem of his robe. Well, he did it, I think, because this lady needed to hear about it. She needed to know that it wasn't just her feeling, that in fact she had been healed. She needed it because she has been isolated for 12 years from everyone else, and now she needs to be brought back into that community. Jairus needed to hear it because he was the leader of the synagogue, and he would be the one to pronounce her healed so that she could join in the community in relationship with everyone else. And so, as a result of going from isolation now into community, into fullness, he says this word. Before that, she begins to have to explain everything to everyone. And she realized she could not stay hidden. She began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been immediately healed. And everyone in the community all around her now were looking at her and saying, "That's amazing." Meanwhile, Jairus, healing. God heals who, when, where he chooses for his glory. It wasn't Jairus' daughter yet. It was just this woman, this poor woman, street person, who he chose to heal. And Jesus heals the wounds of everyone to bring wholeness to us all. So, Jesus uses the word, daughter. That's probably the first time in 12 years she has heard anyone call her something other than get out of the way. Imagine what that was doing for her. Meanwhile, Jairus, this has all probably taken hours to have her talk and go through this. What's Jairus going through? His daughter is on her deathbed. While Jesus was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." Would God choose to heal one and not the other? At this point, Jairus is very confused. I was the one who asked Jesus to come with me. I was the one he was following. And now he healed someone else, a side trip. And my daughter has died. But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except the disciples. And then the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, which was a very common thing back then. But he said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him. It was one of those things that was just so foreign to anyone. How could she be alive? But then Jesus took her by the hand in a loud voice said, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned. She immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. So, we may be very near to Christ and throng him without touching, but no one can touch him, however lightly, without deriving the very grace needed. It doesn't really matter whether you're at the high end or the low end, socially, spiritually, financially, physically, and emotionally. Jesus heals. And here's just a partial list of the people that were mentioned that Jesus has touched and healed. And that man who lost his job, that's me. Let me tell you the rest of the story. So, as I'm packing up my bags, getting ready to go, and I called my wife, and she was talking to our daughter, Dad lost his job. All of a sudden, on the company phone that was given to me, the phone rings. Hi, Tony. This is Mark. How's your day been going? Yeah, it wasn't good. Yeah, I said, not so well. You know, Mark was the president at a different company. He said, Tony, I have a job for you. Are you interested? Yeah. So 2 weeks later, I started a different job. Now, sometimes God's sense of timing is just amazing, and other times it takes forever. You know, it just, but Jesus heals wounds to bring wholeness. And there are different people will end up having different stories. And I am very aware that there are times when people are not cured of their diseases. But James, who was another one of the followers, and oh, by the way, was Jesus' brother. Now, if anyone is a reason to believe that Jesus was God, it's because of James. Because how many of you would listen and say that your brother was God? Really? Yeah. So most of us are, we would not say, we might like our brothers, but we wouldn't say that they're God. So James put it this way, very practical. He says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you sick? You should call on the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. James. You know, James is very practical, but let's face it. Is he saying that everyone is going to be healed that called on the name of the Lord? Is it a one-size-fit-all? Is he talking more about the ultimate resurrection, where we are all healed at the end time? The way I see it is that healing is God chooses to heal you at a particular time, and it may not be when you want it to be done. And sometimes you may be healed but not cured of your disease. I am very aware that one of the people that I knew that had Parkinson's, it caused their lives to, it totally changed the way he behaved. He went from being a very proud man someone who was humbled and was just a servant of God. And it wouldn't have, I don't think that without that, it would have changed his behavior. Ultimately, he was healed. He's now in heaven, but he wasn't cured of his disease. James also talks about oil. We have oil up here, and it's frankincense. And oil in the first century, some people would think, is it just an anointing of the oil that was caused because of the Holy Spirit? Is he asking, because similar to David, David was anointed, rulers were anointed. But oils were also used as the medicine of that particular time. It was probably one of the things that occurred most often when people were anointed with oil. They were anointed by doctors. So James was very practical. He's saying, go ask for prayer, but also use the best medical treatments of the time. So, I am convinced that more people are not healed because they don't come and ask, rather than those who are not healed just because. Often, we do not pray the prayer of faith out of concern for God's reputation. If there should be no healing of us, we should remember that God is big enough to handle his own reputation. So right after this time today, we're going to have a time of prayer and healing. We're going to have elders up here. We're going to have others. And we're going to have a chance for you to be anointed with oil and be prayed over for your infirmities, for anything, whether it be psychological, whether it be social, whether it be emotional, or whether you actually have some medical issues that need to be prayed over. And so what I'd like to be doing, though, is also realizing that there are other ways, if you, especially when you have emotional issues. We have Celebrate Recovery and other programs that will help you through that process of healing. In the same way that you're healed, I am being healed, and I will be healed, that's the verb that is being used many of the times in the Bible. It's a time of, one, that we are healed, that we are being healed, and then ultimately, we will be healed in the last days. So, what shall we do? Let's thank God in our pain. And I know that it's difficult. Ask him to work it for his glory. Don't thank him for the pain, but thank him in our pain. Hate the destructive power of sickness and diseases. It was not supposed to be that way. It was when I was talking to my kids, when I was trying to tell them about my wife's breast cancer, I told them, this is not the way God intended the world to be. It was as a result of the sin in the world, and that one day it will be gone. And then ask God to reveal the fullness of his healing power and use both the natural as well as the prayer, supernatural, as means for healing. And by all means, go see the doctor. When Judy and I were prayed over at our church and anointed with oil by the elders, it was the day before we went to Dana-Farber for treatments. So use both and. It's not an either or. And continue to pray. Don't stop. Continue to pray with expectation of healing. Just like the persistent widow. Amen? Okay. Yeah. So let's have a time of prayer. Lord God, we do thank you. We do thank you for the power that you expressed in Jesus and the way that you are continuing to express it through your Holy Spirit and in the community of believers here and around the world. We thank you for the way in which you heal, that you have healed, you will heal, and you continue to heal until the last day. We ask all of these things in your Son's precious name, and to his glory we say, amen.